When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, I'm Eben Novy-Williams, and this is going to be a different type of Sportacast. Scott and I are both traveling, but we wanted to play a recent conversation we had live at South by Southwest with Jeff Lewis, the founder and CEO of the American Flag Football League, and Brian Michael Cooper, president and COO of the American Flag Football League. Here is that conversation.
Please welcome to the stage, hosts of Sportacast, Scott Soschnick, Eben Novy-Williams, and special guests Jeff Lewis and Brian Cooper of the American Flag Football League.
There we go. That's Stephen A. Smith leftovers right there. We'll try to bring as much as Stephen does, but I got to tell you guys, like, the kids were out here playing. I think everybody has tried or played flag football. I told you in earlier discussions that I've played tackle football. Who hasn't? I've played Pop Warner football. I got beat up, and I know it's not the right way to play, but if you're going to your buddies in the park and you think you're playing flag football, I got beat up worse than flag football because you had to stop somebody to grab that thing. If you're just reaching for the flag, you're not playing it right.
What's funny is that, like, there's a whole kind of debate about tackle players playing flag. Are they going to be in the Olympics? Are they going to be on the team? And the odd thing is the guys that are here who are the pro flag football players – when they pull a flag, they square you up like they're going to tackle you. Yep. And they, instead of hitting their shoulder into your chest, they just put their hands onto the tops of the flags. And what's interesting is whenever you watch a tackle football player, they don't understand that they just need to do what they always do. Instead, they stand on the side like a matador, you know, trying to grab it as the guy goes by.
Yeah, but let me tell you, I'm going to bring in a baseball analogy here. Yeah. If you've ever played outfield in baseball, you know, when a guy misses a ball, you're like, that was right at him. How did he miss? If you ever played outfield and you start running for the ball and your eyes start bouncing, that's how you miss the ball. It's the same here. Those guys make that play. You're telling me about technique. They squared them up just like they would and they grabbed the flag. That's not me. I'm running at them and I'm like, you know, I do the pullback and I miss. So there is a lot of talent involved.
No question.
Far beyond just like me. And he's laughing over there going, yeah, you're really not good at this.
You're like auditioning for this, Scott. Do you have a roster spot for Scott?
You know something? We're going to have a tryout, you know, another tryout. So if you want to.
Hold on. I got a story. Years ago, I get a call from my friend, John Patrikoff, when he was running NYCFC.
I know John very well.
You know John well. Okay. So John says, hey, Scott, you played soccer. Why don't you come spend a day with NYCFC, full day, training table, the whole thing, practice. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. I call my wife. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Smart woman. She says, this is a bad idea. I said, no. It's good. It'll be fine. So I go out for it's like a 15-station plyometric warm-up. Mm-hmm. I am winded, done. This is warm-up. My legs are weak. I'm sweating. Now I have to go play. And, I mean, we've got David Villa. I said, David, for you. I'm with the coach of the team. You know, so I'm like, I have to play.
Right.
I'm doing the first drill. Coach is like, we have a player here. And I knew I was really I'm doing my thing. I go to push off.
Hammy.
Calf.
Oh, calf.
Calf explodes. He's laughing. I couldn't lift my leg. I'm dragging it for weeks. So the idea of me sprinting at all. Didn't Kevin Hart get hurt recently sprinting? There was a great... Oh, you got to see the... If you missed the YouTube, go check out Kevin Hart sprinting because he tore like everything. My days of sprinting are over. I will gladly watch. I will gladly applaud. I will gladly write about. I will not play.
So we need to get you dipping at full speed, right? We were talking about when the guys were out here. You have never seen anything like it. Guy is running absolutely full speed, and he sees the guy coming to get the flag. So he just lowers his hips about 4 inches and continues to run. Okay? Try that one.
I was saying, you can lower your hips 4 inches and continue to run?
And continue to run.
Talk to the Iron Man.
I want to see Scott do the karaoke is what I want to see.
The twist.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the only thing is move him. Right? Move him. We had in the first game that we ever played, the test game, there was a guy who was the rare bird who played both ways in the NFL, a guy named Nikita Whitlock. He played for the Giants. He was a fullback. He also played a little nose guard. And Nikita was a big boy. Nikita came and played.
I'm not thinking speed.
No, but he was, agile. He was a fullback. And he came out to play, and he had been playing a lot of flag football in wherever he lived. And so he was actually pretty good, and he had the moves. So he was like running down. He's not the fastest guy on the field, but he would be running, and he would just give it that little twist. Just move him a little bit. He had the hip thing, and he was very hard to get the flag. And he was probably the heaviest guy on the field, but he had he had played enough flag. And that's really the thing is, like, we've seen a lot of NFL players play flag. The first event we ever did was here in Austin.
What year was that?
This was 2018.
Okay.
We played a tournament with $1 million first prize that brought everyone out of the woodwork. And we had a series of regional events, and we played here at Westlake High School, home of Drew Brees and Foles. And team shows up with Vince Young and a couple of his teammates from the national championship, including Michael Griffin, who was a very fine NFL player and has still been involved with the league. So on the first play, I'm standing there, and Griffin is playing receiver, which is already cool. Right, because he was a defensive back, and he's out on the wing, and there's a little pressure. So Vince pitches it out to Griffin, who throws a 35-yard dot down the field, and I'm like, oh, so this flag football thing is way different, And it's really cool because you'll see like these guys would play both ways, It's kind of like back to your back to recess, back to the schoolyard. Nobody's like coming out because the offense
we
is coming
played on cement in Brooklyn. That's all I have to
say. We've got some of your stars here, but give us a breakdown of the best players in your league. What is their athletic pedigree? What positions are they playing? When do they come to flag? What is the process?
So one of the things that you'll see in our game is you never know where the football is going to come from. One of the things I felt like the NFL really missed with the Pro Bowls, they missed the chance to have fun with it. Why didn't they have offensive guys playing defense, defensive guys playing offense, have three quarterbacks on the field at the same time? Let the guys have fun. They kind of kept it very rigid and very controlled. But in our game, you will see that, like, you never know where the ball is going to come from because everybody's an athlete. Everybody can throw the ball. If you think about it, the guy basically who was the best athlete in his town when he was 12, he played quarterback. Maybe he ended up becoming bigger or whatever, but it's like at some point, if you were that good, right, you got to play quarterback. That's why so many of the players can just absolutely spin it.
I heard you talking earlier, you were dissing soccer. You don't seem to be a fan.
Yeah.
Do you think of flag football's competition as being tackle football, or is flag football's competition soccer?
Flag football is not competing with any of the legacy sports. Because flag football's appeal is to the younger fan who wants their own thing. Okay? Like, I'm fortunate because in this whole journey, I have a son who's now a freshman in college. He's going to be 19. And he's kind of been my eyes into what young fans are like and how different they are from our generation. And basically, they kind of don't love our stuff. And they certainly don't love our stuff presented the way it's presented. They want a different look. They want a different game. They want their own stuff. And so when you look at our, you know, the response we get from fans, it's really a young fan who's just looking for something fun. You know, my son played on his high school golf team and has literally never watched 1 second of a regular PGA Tour event because it's so boring. But he will watch hours of a guy named Fat Perez on YouTube because it's fun.
I call my son the focus group of one. 14 years old, does not sit and watch live games. Well, nope. He will get alerts about highlights. He will be on his Xbox. Yep. Does not watch a minute of Major League Baseball throughout the season. Knows every player, every team, and their batting stance simply from the game.
So that's the world that we're coming into. And this is a game that's filled with personality. It's a highlight machine. The players are visible. You know, it's basically football being played by basketball players. So you have that visibility where you get to know their personality, you see their intensity, their humor, no helmet, but they're playing the best game in the world. They're playing football with that action. So we get the Odell Beckham play, we get the Hail Mary, you know, we get that stuff, but they're visible.
You mentioned we're parents. Is there a component, though, of, I want to play football. Mom, Dad, you're not playing football. Here comes the concussion word. Okay, try flag football.
I think it's a little bit of both there. I think what I think is great about the sport, though, is it's extending now the ecosystem where kids may have stopped playing fourth or fifth grade and they're now playing well into prep league and potentially into college. And so I think it's, you know, it's certainly, look, safety's still a question, but I think what's happening now is you're also seeing kids who may not necessarily have just would have played traditional football playing football now because they can continue to play at flag level and play at a high level.
And girls, I would imagine, too, right?
Yeah,
who don't play tackle football anywhere at the same rate as young men.
The game is, you know, Jeff said, you know, the game is personal, it's dynamic, but it's also universal. And it's and it's universal in the sense now that kids are picking it up and able to play at a much longer. I think that's what's really going to be the real fascinating thing about flag now is seeing kids play from 12 to 18, right? Both men and women. And particularly on the women's side, where you can have the opportunity to potentially get a Division I scholarship, to play at a pro level, to play like, you know, Corey and Hoosh, to play at a pro level, both at the men's and women's side, is going to be, I think, a huge component for kids to look at it now. And again, going past kind of the safety issue, but going into this idea that I can play this sport for a very long time if I want to. And that's going to be exciting.
We joke a lot on our show about Twitter handles. Do you know the flag football Twitter handle?
I don't.
You're going to love it.
There better not be an underscore.
There's no underscore. Good. It's at flag football.
Better.
Yeah. Easier. Mic drop time. That's it.
How'd you get that? Is there a story there?
No. That was available.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's better than AFFL.
If anybody wonders who's at the top of the pyramid,
just
type in flag football. That's it.
Business lesson. Wrap up. Control the IP first. But this is what we do, business of sport. Let me ask, Gimme, where's the money come from and how are you going to make money?
So I'm actually, you know, people can't see me on a podcast, which is probably a good thing, but I'm actually only 30 years old because I've been going house to house raising money for 7 years. That's why I look like this. I mean, you know, I have a Wall Street background, so I have a decent network, and, you know.
What's your Wall Street background? Where were you? Your position, firm, what?
I was a mortgage trader back in the day and have been a hedge fund manager, and I actually work in crypto now.
Hmm.
But I've always liked the oddball things, the complicated things, you know. So I don't like easy stuff. I like change. I like the things that people reject because they don't understand it. And trying to show them the way. You know, so we basically have not had, like, you know, the sort of name brand professional investors. It's taken a village. But what's really interesting about now versus 5 years ago is there's now actually an industry whose job it is to invest in emerging sports. 5 years ago, that didn't exist.
Yeah.
5 years ago, when you talked to, like, people who had, like, you know, institutional sports money, they were trying to buy an MLS team or an NHL team, and there was nothing in between. And, like, you see things like the success of NWSL, which struggled for a long time. Like, it was not good. Mm-hmm. It was not going well. And yet now they're an overnight sensation, you know, 10 years in, right? But at the end of the day, somebody bought a team for $2 million that's worth $50 million 2 years later. That guy wants to do another trade.
And there's also professional investment in the ecosystem. It's not just the team and the league. Right. It's the adjacent media. It's the adjacent real estate.
Yep.
You can do that. You said, why didn't the NFL have fun? Well, because you know the nickname of the NFL.
No, yeah, there's a reason why, because it's, their DNA is stayed not to have fun.
Right.
But they can look at things as they did with XFL, and I imagine they will, you know, with the new league, things that worked that they can borrow, steal, and utilize in their own leagues.
Well, we were saying, you know, we have a play that I desperately want to see in the NFL, which is to save them from the onside kick. We run a play which is 4th and 20 from the 30,
and if you call that the New York Jets.
Was that out loud? Sorry, Woody.
And you know, if you get over the 50-yard line, you get to keep the ball. And you know, if you don't make it, then it turns over wherever the play ended. So we've had multiple 3-score comebacks from the last 5 minutes of games, because a team could score, go onside, score, go onside, score, and you know, basically come back from 25 points down. Because we also have 1-, 2-, and 3-point conversions. So like, you know, the NFL could be. I would allow them to steal our onside play and take no credit for it. I'd be delighted, because that way, at the end of an NFL game, there's actually a chance that somebody might be able to come back.
I have an idea for baseball. Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I would argue that if your team is down 20 with no time left, you don't deserve the opportunity to come back. First of all,
you've got to keep interest somehow.
But I actually don't love it. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, if you watch we played, one of the great things about our game, you know, if you look at all sports, they basically, the regular season audience and the finals audience, right? The finals audience is about 7 or 8X what the regular season audience is, because it just elevates. It's just, it's better quality play. It's got more at stake. And the audience just kind of grows. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about baseball, basketball, anything, football. And what's really wild about the NFL is, like, if you look at the NBA, 70% of the NBA's media value is in the postseason. Because the audience is elevating, and they play 4 out of 7.
They say the season doesn't even start until Christmas Day, even though they really begin long before season. That.
Well, yeah. Apparently,
and the NFL ruined that.
Apparently, neither do the viewers. But, you know, the fact is, we have a game where we could actually get to a point where we could play 3 out of 5 for the championship, and we could do it in 3 days. Right. You know, it's just the game isn't that taxing. So we had a finals in one of our tournaments where we played 2 games. They played on Saturday. And a team came back from 26 down with 5 minutes to go and won the game. And then the next day they played again. And then after the other team won that game, unlike the Champions League where we added up the scores. No, they were 2 distinct games. And then we played another 20 minutes.
Wow, another subtle shot at soccer.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that subtle.
Tell me, there's some childhood trauma with soccer. Yeah, what happened? Please tell me what happened.
Right, does everybody have a little time?
Wow, it's like an abusive parent, but an abusive sport.
So in ninth grade, I dedicated the entire summer before ninth grade.
You got cut from whatever team you tried out for. That's what happened.
I was the better goalie. I was absolutely the better goalie, and I had spent the whole summer training, and I got cut from the soccer team, and it was devastating.
Forever.
So we can talk about it later if you want, but
you lay down on the couch. That's a better way to do it.
We made it this far, guys, without mentioning the Olympics.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yep. LA 28, absolutely. Adding some new sports. Flag football, obviously, is one of them. Walk us through your involvement there, and obviously how big a deal that is for you to have a 4 or 5 year runway up to a very big moment.
And what kind of champagne was popped when it was chosen
for the
Olympics.
Like that night?
Well, when as you guys know, you know, the governing bodies run the Olympics for sports, not the pro leagues, right? Yeah. So the Dream Team was USA Basketball and US Soccer.
By the way, the little nugget that people will not remember, only because Russ Granick was
Christian Laettner
and is a very good friend. No. Oh. He's not. Yeah, name all the members, and that's who gets left off. No, USA Basketball voted no against pro participation in the Olympics.
Interesting.
In 92 or 93, whatever that was.
For the 92 Dream Team. Yeah.
Which I guess they got outvoted.
Yeah.
Maybe they just wanted to look good knowing the rest of the world won and said, well, we didn't need this. You know, see, we didn't want to beat everybody by 52. We don't want Chuck beating up Angola so badly.
But you don't get Jokic and all of that without the Dream Team.
Exactly. Well, which is the best thing that ever happened to basketball.
But that's what David saw. Like David saw the ability. And by the way, he was called Digital Dave. He saw not only the ability to bring people from around the world and have that be the best game here, but he knew by exporting the game and letting him see it, whether it used to be VHS tapes, highlights VHS tapes, but as soon as you could, do you want the Timbu Bhutan? Go ahead. Tell the Bhutan story you love. David David goes to Bhutan. He tells me that he loves his story. He's in Timbu Bhutan.
Scott tells the story every three shows, by the way.
That is not true.
Our listeners back
that
home
is not
are
true.
Slamming on the steering wheel.
David goes to an internet cafe in Timbu. He's like, one stoplight town, and I'm looking in the internet cafe, and there's a kid on the Kobe Bryant page. He's like, I knew at that moment was right, that we were headed in the right direction.
So
go ahead. Good.
Well, you know, so you see a lot of NFL players like, you know, Tyreek Hill and Gronk, like, tweeting out, oh, I can't wait to get a gold medal.
You got news for them?
If USA Football wants to actually have the USA win the gold medal, the players are all going to come from us. You know, the men
not like
and
the
women.
Can't have one spot for Tyreek Hill as promotion? Is there any value in having maybe not the best player, but somebody who would bring tremendous visibility to
absolutely
the sport?
Absolutely. And, you know, Tyreek Hill is sort of the exception that proves the rule. I'd take him anyway.
Okay.
Even if he doesn't have a clue.
He may be faster than Hoosh.
Hoosh.
Well, yeah, he may be faster than Hoosh. Where's Hoosh? Where is he?
There he is in the back, yeah.
All right, is he paying attention?
Yeah, he's ready.
All right, ready? Yep. Run as fast as you can across the lawn.
But the problem is that it's not just. There he
keep
is.
Keep going. Keep going. How fast can you go? You can see it live and not just on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's not about speed because you have to have these little moves. You have to have the little twist. You have to have the dip. And if you can't do those things and you're just running straight, you're not effective. So even if you're Tyreek Hill and you don't adapt and learn those techniques, you know, my analogy is always UFC versus boxing. It looks very similar, but it's a different athlete, a different sport.
Well, it looks similar until you get kicked in the face. And then it looks nothing like it.
It sounds to me like 3-on-3 basketball, which was added to the Olympics back in 2016, a sport that people are familiar with, a different way to play. And the Olympians in that sport were not LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. It was people who were specialists in that version.
Exactly. So we'll see. But like I said, I'll make the exception. If Tyreek wants to play, I'm sure we can get him
open
on.
Open slot.
I think 28 is going to be great, though, because I think it's
and Mahomes, by the way, second exception.
There you go.
It's going to be an inflection point, I think, just like in 92 with the Dream Team. I felt like, you know, and Jeff touched on it, where you had, without the Dream Team, you don't have Nikola Jokic, right? You don't have that happen. And I think you're going to see that same elevation of the game itself, the game of football itself, you know. And I would say slightly that it's that the game, you know, 3-on-3 versus what flags do. I think that that's still dynamic nature. The core components of football is still there. And I think that's what's going to be great going global in the Olympics, is that people are going to see these players like Corey and Hoosh playing at this elite level, and they're going to want to emulate it. And they're going to go over and tear it up in 28. But I think, like the 92 team, it's going to elevate everybody else in the world, right? And I think, you know, the 28 games are going to be critical, I think, to showing that so football can take the place,
which countries,
the same place as soccer or basketball as that kind of global game. And I think you're going to see that with the Olympics.
Am I being jingoistic just to say, well, the U.S. is going to dominate?
On the men's side, when you, like, have camp to, like, figure out who's going to get cut and make the team, you start at 180 million people. Right, every single male person in the United States has had a football in their hand. So it takes it takes you a while to get down to the team. Right, that advantage does not exist on the women's side. So I think you'll see, and you know, you saw the best Super Bowl ad of 2 years ago was the ad of Diana Flores, the Mexican player.
She was on the stage last night,
chased around by her grandmother. Right, and like they won the world championship 2 years ago, the Mexican women, and you know, the advantage that the U.S. women have is not nearly as great as the men. They're still the best in the world, but it's going to be more competitive, I think. You know,
we've got a few
side.
Minutes left, but I do want to hit on international for a second. The NFL has spent billions of dollars trying to make American football more popular, played by more people overseas. It's a huge hurdle. The requirement for young people to play it from an equipment standpoint,
exactly.
Number of people. The NBA, on the other hand, has done a really good job. It's a much simpler game. I know you don't like soccer. Soccer
well.
Is super easy.
Well,
that's the key to soccer.
That's why
I imagine for you
in.
Guys, this is a version of this sport that is not doesn't need all of the equipment, all of the people.
Those pesky flags as barrier to entry.
But that's what makes it universal. I think that's exactly it. It's easy. It's easy to pick up and easy. It's an easier barrier. There's no barrier to entry for like equipment and all the things you would actually need. You can actually come and play it. And I think once kids see that internationally, but then also see it on that international stage in the Olympics, I think that coupled with the ease of playing. I think it's going to do with basketball. What happened to basketball 30 years ago, where it truly became a global game. And even though U.S. blew out Angola by, 100 and some odd points, look at BAL now. I mean, basketball is thriving now there, and there's tons of players who have come from Africa, Asia, Europe, and are now, you could build your top 10 team in the NBA now of international players, and you couldn't have done that 30 years ago.
Well, that's how you get the NBA players to play hard. In the All-Star game, you do international versus U.S. That's how you do it. Because there's resentment. There's resentment there. I know they're making a lot of money, but neither one wants to lose that.
Like, that's basically if we ditch the Ryder Cup and go for Live versus PGA Tour, I'd pay for a ticket to see that.
There's an idea.
Okay? That would have a little juice.
Tell me about your media. I mean, kids have to be able to see it. You know, if you want to play, you got to see it. It doesn't have to be, hundreds of billions of dollars TV contract on Fox. But they have to be able to see it.
So we are going to go basically direct to consumer and no paywalls. So the former Meister of Sports Science on ESPN, John Brinkus, has done a lot of work with us, making content for us. And he now has a streaming platform, Brinks.tv, and that's going to be the main streaming platform. But we'll also be on our own website. We'll be on Twitch. Will be on smart TVs. The whole point is to be ubiquitous and to be available, that there's no friction and people can see
it. Am I going to get things like
access.
If Hooja's running across, like that YouTube play, if he runs across, I'm going to get the dots and how fast, like maximum speed, velocity, deceleration. Am I going to get that from John as well?
Absolutely. So we...
kids love that stuff.
Well, one of the really cool things about the opportunity, once the players are unhelmeted and unmasked, you can mic them up. You can do all kinds of different things to like really get close. And I think that's kind of the biggest theme of the younger person. They want way closer access to what's actually going on. So you're going to hear from the coach during the game. You're going to hear from the players in the huddle. We're going to be able to really let you in.
Feels very Premier Lacrosse League.
I was about to say
it feels
that.
Very
so
PLL
that
they
that.
Understood. They, and they do have the helmet, so it's more difficult. But it's players mic'd up as they're playing.
Exactly.
They understanding that the younger demo wants access.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying the next thing we're going to get is car ride home after the game. That's what we're going to get. Like, I want to see a superstar athlete. It could be big league, could be whatever. But like, I'd like to see what it's like for Giannis after a loss driving home. And I think we're going to get. I mean, they live stream. What was it? What restaurant did they go to?
Oh man!
After they won the championship, might have been a Chick-fil-A or something, whatever it was.
Yeah, they went to Waffle House or something.
Yeah. And they had like 500,000 people watching them go to the drive-thru. I mean, you're laughing in your head, bobbing your head. I see opportunity. I see opportunity. There, people want more than just what's going on in the game.
They want to be close, and they don't want to be shut out, but they also want to know what's going on. So one of the things that we're going to do is we're ditching the play-by-play guy. Because you know what it says on the screen? It says 3rd and 8 on the 42-yard line with 8 minutes to go. We don't need to be told that. We're football fans. We've got that figured out. I'm going to have an offensive expert and a defensive expert, and there'll be this kind of rivalry between them, where the one guy's sort of representing for the offense, the other guy's really talking about the defense. But one of the things is if you watch like an NFL game, it's usually an offensive guy who's the color guy, and he actually doesn't even say anything interesting. But they never really talk about what the defense is doing. You have to go on YouTube and find some crazy genius guy who like analyzes defenses to actually learn anything about how that works.
So, do you hate soccer announcers also?
No, I actually have not watched any soccer games. I couldn't be able to comment on the announcers.
Fair.
What tech are we going to see that
might be just, you know, experimental, or, you know, we have VAR in
soccer.
So we
have actually, I think, about 6 or maybe 7 patents that we've received since we started. So
glad they're not pending.
Nope, not pending.
Pat pending bothers me. You have nothing.
Well, Pat pending was a wide receiver on Alabama last year. But one of the cool things we have is this device called the Go Clock. So we basically put a little piece of a scoreboard on top of a yardage marker. So it gives you your down, it gives you the play clock, and it gives you the Mississippis. You know, somebody's got to count them. And if the refs, you know, if you ever played like 7-on-7 and one ref goes 1, 2, 3, and one ref goes 1, 2, 3. Psh! So it has to be uniform. And so basically we created something that would professionalize it, and you can use it in a stadium or you could use it out in a field somewhere. But it's always the same. It's always the exact same count, and you know exactly what's going on.
And who will sponsor the Mississippi? That's a
great question.
That is a great question.
A riverboat company. I'm trying to think. What can we?
Timex. No?
Timex.
That's got to be a watch.
I was thinking Rolex, but you know, if you can get Timex, we'll take
Rolex
it.
Rolex is better.
One of the great things.
Preferred.
The presentation of the game. Also, we use kind of Madden view where it's hovering over, and that's going to be. I think that. To me, if you ever you look at the 2018 final, it was utilized there, and that's going to be, I think, a great look for the game as well. And also, it speaks to younger, you know, kids. It looks more like, you know, video game format. And our game, I think, it's going to look very good because you can see the plays open up. You can see the routes being run. It's, you know, those are going to be. Some
I mean,
these
the
well.
Kids who are our fans that are in their 20s spent way more time playing Madden than watching actual games. So they're used to looking. They're used to looking down the field. They actually understand formations. And they want to see, you know, what's open, and they want to see how things develop. And it's really cool. But you have to train the announcers, because the announcers are used to, you know, calling the game from the side. But why do we call the game from the side? Because in 1956, they sent one guy with a camera up to Green Bay, and they said, well, where can you see everything? And they put him on the 50.
His name was Rune Arledge.
But it's time to actually give people, you know, more. And I think if you look at people who are really knowledgeable about football, what do they buy? They buy the coaches package, and they watch all the film after the game's over, and it's all downfield view. It's all downfield view.
Did you see his eyes glaze over, by the way, when I said Rune Arledge? I don't think he knows the reference. We always like to test Evan. Evan, Rune Arledge? Legendary.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. He thinks it's just me. Two wows over here, my friend.
Scott referenced PLL earlier. We have had Paul Rabel on the show a few times.
Absolutely.
One of the interesting conversations we had once was about how they name teams in the PLL. Mm-hmm. And when he was looking to add a seventh team, they added the Water Dogs. Mm-hmm. And he told us, dog content does really well on social media. And before they announced the name, he was like, I bet you when we announce it, it's going to be a dog or a puppy of some sort. Sure enough, it was Water Dogs. You guys launched. You have 4 teams. One of them is the Ocelots, which I love. Yep. How much science, how much thinking, how did you decide we have 4 franchises? How are we going to name these first 4?
I think, you know, we wanted them to reflect the cities, for example. So, look, Lucky Sevens, you know, and look, it's also play on, you know, we're 7-on-7, so that also makes a lot of sense.
That's in Vegas.
Obviously, yeah. Vegas. The Ocelots, you asked about the Ocelots. The Ocelot was a great name because it also, in Texas, the Ocelot is an endangered species animal. And we thought that's also... What a great way to bring discussion to the team by bringing up that name. And then the Nighthawks are, you know, we kept that logo endemic to Nashville. That's an older, it was an old AHL team. So tip of the hat to the history.
You got to get Sly Stallone to do something for you, Nighthawks.
Exactly.
Billy D and Sly should be at the first game.
And have them on that.
Have it on the tram, the Roosevelt Island tram. Once again, by the way. Glazing over. He has no idea.
Gibson makes a Nighthawk. You know, so we also have, you know, there's a great component. The logo is shaped like a guitar pick. The bird has the 3 stars from Tennessee, but there's actually also a Nighthawk guitar. But I guess Gibson made a Nighthawk exclusive guitar. So there's a nice tip of the cap to the music industry in Nashville. And then Boston, you know, Colonial, the Brigade. I think the Brigade also sounds, you know, signals community. And so we put some time and care into these logos and names. And I think hopefully all of them, the cities, I think, are going to rally around them. And, you know, we did want to make sure that they were names that reflected our markets.
What's on the list for expansion in terms of numbers and in terms of cities?
Where do you want to buy a team?
What's it go for?
Austin seems great. Pretty nice.
That's our question. Yeah. What's it go for?
It looks pretty nice.
The first group of teams went for $3 million. I would imagine the next one will be more, but...
Depends on Sportico budget, Scott?
Depends on where you want to put it.
Right.
You know, basically, the funny thing is there are certain places in the country that are thick with talent, okay? Texas and Florida are insane in terms of how much talent there is, how deep it goes. Yep. But the fact is we need 12 players active for a game. So you could go just about anywhere and be able to field a very, very talented team.
And what do players make, roughly?
The players are going to make a couple $1,000s a week. And basically you're looking at people who have been paying to play this game for decades. So it's nice to flip the switch and actually receive instead of pay to play.
Yeah, something better than nothing. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And good luck with the league. I know maybe I'll go 50% speed out there if you'll have me. But
he really
I am
wants
not.
To play.
I am
really
not.
I just gotta make sure you sign that waiver before you get out there.
I'll sign it, but I said I'd rather sling it than catch it. If that's okay with you guys,
I want to see him at that. So we're gonna on the 23rd of March. The teams are gonna simulate a game day, and we're gonna have the teams play twice in one day. So they're gonna play. There's gonna be a doubleheader at 1 o'clock, and then a doubleheader in the evening, and we'll be in the same venue. So two doubleheaders, and the games take about 80-85 minutes of real time. We play 4 12-minute quarters with running time. So they're going to simulate that in Dallas on the 23rd and in Nashville on the 23rd. So if you can get to either one, we'll get you in.
All right. We might have to make you like Nashville. All right, guys. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank
all right.
You
thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And this concludes the Sportico podcast programming for South by Southwest 2024. Thank you, Austin.
That's a wrap from Austin. Scott and I will be back later this week. The Sportercast is produced by Aaron Greenewald. Thank you very much to Aaron. Sportico's digital media editor, Cora Veltman, would like you to know that you can follow the Sportercast at Sportercast, which is the hub of the Sportico Media Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.